Answering your tough financial questions for the past 21 years, it's Hanson McLean's Money Matters with co-hosts Scott Hanson and Pat McLean.
Hi, this is Scott.
This is Pat.
Our program today, we are talking about several different retirement themes. Can I afford to retire right now? I've got this investment in retirement I don't need.
Can I retire and start a new career? This, I think we're going to call our retirement show.
Looking at debt in retirement?
How much is too much?
We'll talk about all these issues and more. Stick around for Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Would you like an opinion on a financial matter you're dealing with? Whether it is about retirement, investments, taxes, or 401ks, Scott Hanson and Pat McLean would like to help you by answering your call. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, call now at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
I'm Pat McLean.
Glad you are with us today as we talk about the world of financial matters. And our objective here is to help you make some wise choices with your finances and your decisions so you can be at a point in your life where work is a choice and not an obligation, helping people plan and save for their retirement. And Pat McLean and myself have been financial advisors
for a long time,
certified financial planner, chartered financial consultant, been doing this radio program for over 20 years, and it is a privilege again to be here. I just feel kind of nice to be able to continue
to be asked back. To be what? To be asked?
Yeah, yeah, I still run the show and all that, and people listen to the podcast. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is Bob Brinker still on?
Completely. I don't know. I used to listen to him when I first started back in the business.
Anyway.
Back in the, he was good.
Yeah. But if you got a question for us, we'd love to take your question and answer it. And if you've been a listener for a long time, you understand this program is really about financial planning. We talk about investments clearly. We don't get into specifics of individual mutual funds because
it changes.
There's so many of them. It's like
it changes on a constant basis. We might recommend a mutual fund today, and if that fund manager, if it happens to be an actively managed fund, if that fund manager leaves or changes his style, it's no longer appropriate for you. And quite frankly, we like a lot of the index and exchange traded funds.
Yes. Passive investing.
Yes. Yeah. But there's room for both. There's room for both.
Particularly in some segments of the market.
Yes.
Yeah. Some segments of the market. But if you'd like to be part of the program, we'd love to take calls and we'd love to take your call. We might want to take your call if it's a good call.
We'll probably take your call.
Most likely. 1-888-2-HANSON is the number. If you're thinking about your own retirement, here we are starting off and still in January of 2018. You're looking at your own retirement or some other things you're trying to figure out from your finances, or perhaps you're retired trying to figure out how do you generate a little more income. It's a little. Interest rates have come up on some short end of things, so some of that just pure income generation is a little easier, but maybe you're trying to figure out what's the right mix for your portfolio so you've got your retirement income coming, or you're looking at a state plan.
Or maybe you need to thinking about paying off your mortgage. Is it now the right time? What assets should I use to pay off the mortgage?
Any question in your financial life, we would love to take the call and answer that question. So to join us, 1-888-2-HANSON is the number. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 1-888-242-6766. And any one of those, the numbers will come to us, and we'd love to take your call. And let's start off in Denver, Colorado. We're going to talk with Sophie. Sophie, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah.
I'd like to retire in 8 years. I'll be 55 in 8 years. And I also have a son that'll be starting college that year. And so I've been trying to figure out what's the best way to plan for that perfect storm. And is it really possible to retire in 8 years?
Mm.
And so I work for the state. I have a pension and I'm married. And this is what my plan was. And I just don't know if it's a good plan.
Okay.
So I have a rental property. And if it appreciates, 2 to 5% per year, I'll be able to sell that in 8 years and possibly pay off the majority of my current mortgage, which is a fairly new mortgage. And then I'd be able to lower my cost of living,
mm-hmm.
my mortgage enough to be able to afford to retire and then pay cash for college on a month-to-month basis.
Okay. So did you do the calculation with the property selling it in 8 years with an after-tax dollar amount? You figured out what you would have paid on the taxes selling the rental?
Well, I did 80%.
All right, close enough. 80. All right.
And did it work? Did the numbers work at 2%? Because it's a big difference between 2% and 5% a year.
Yeah, they kind of worked. I mean, I feel like my mortgage would be about, if it was 5%, my new mortgage would be about $100,000 a year. And my current mortgage is like $475,000. And so I would drop it down significantly. And then at the 2%, it would be, you know, it would be more like my new mortgage would be like $180,000. And so,
what's your current home, your residence, you have a mortgage of $475,000. What's that home worth?
About $1 million.
Okay. And the rental property, what's the value of that?
It's $350,000 today.
And what do you owe on it?
About $170,000.
Why do you want to retire at age 55?
I want to start a new career. I want to do something different.
What would that be?
I don't know, real estate, finances, a kindergarten teacher. I've been thinking, you know, accountant. I don't know. Maybe I could work at a nursery with plants, something. I may not retire at 55.
Got it. And what's your pension like? Do you have to be there till 55 in order to vest or fully vest?
Well, no, I'm vested at 20, and I'll be at 23 at 55.
And what percentage of your final pay will your pension be?
Well, I have a 401k and a pension, and between the two, it's about $150,000.
But your pension, how much income will just your pension provide?
I think it's like $4,100. It depends on if I have a survivor on that calculation. Between $4,000 and $5,000.
And what's your pay now?
Pension. Well, part time, I make about $100,000, about $90,000 to $100,000 a year.
And how much is in your 401k?
50 or 60 maybe. Oh, no. I'd have to.
Okay.
So what you're talking about, so you make between 90 and 100,000 a year. At 55, you'll have about half of that made up for a pension.
Okay.
Right? So.
But she's going to go back to work. She doesn't plan on leaving the workforce. So your question is basic college funding, which is if all the stars align, and I sell this property, and I make enough money to pay off the mortgage, do I then pay for college costs out of pocket?
I have a feeling that college costs, even if you get your mortgage taken care of, that college cost is going to be about the same as your mortgage. So when you leave the workforce at a salary of $90,000 to $100,000, and you have a $48,000 coming in from a pension, there's still that differential there.
And how many children do you have that are going to go to college, do you think, or?
I have two kids.
Here,
one will go to college.
You really should sit down with an advisor and go and really run through the numbers. And part of this is going to come down to you need to understand what the trade-offs are. So it might be very realistic for you to retire at 55. And you might be in a job like, look, I'll put another 8 years because it means that much to my pension, but there's no way I want to work past that. Right? Well, then it's like, well, let's figure out what that means. From a financial standpoint, if your goal was to accumulate as many dollars as possible, we'd say keep at this job until the day you drop dead. Never retire.
And don't have children.
Yeah.
But that ship has sailed.
And sell your house and go move into a much smaller one, pay cash for a much smaller house today. That's if your whole goal was to accumulate as many dollars before you die. That's not your goal. If your goal is to get out of your current job at age 55, then I think it's important for you to understand what are those trade-offs going to be. Because you're not going to be able to hit 55 and replace $90,000 to $100,000 a year in pay based upon what you've told us thus far.
I have this UDMA account for the kids and a scholarship account. I was like, should I be paying off my mortgage as fast as possible and then pay cash for college, or should I be vesting my money into these UDMA?
How much do you have in the UDMAs?
Oh, I don't know. I have like maybe 2,000 per kid. One kid has three, the other has two.
Okay, and how much are in the 529 plans?
Oh, not, I don't know, maybe again, $1,000 or $2,000 for each kid.
They're effectively not funded at all.
Right, yeah. It's very little.
Yeah. You open the account.
One semester.
But yeah, or some books.
It all depends
God
where they go.
God forbid a very expensive fraternity or sorority.
Yeah, but the fact is, you fund what you can, what you, what the cash flow provides for you to fund. And the kid, not every kid needs to go away to some school and live in the dorms. And yeah, I mean, that's right. Those are luxuries, frankly.
Yeah,
that's not the ticket
that
to
works
it.
Through
that
college.
Is, I did too. And it's not, it's not the ticket to a great career by going and living in the dorms for a couple of years in some nice campus somewhere. That's a luxury.
Right. It's true. Yeah.
That's a luxury. College is important. Don't get me wrong. And I believe college is important for many young people, but doesn't always have to be at the highest institution on a living a you know living a life
on the hog or high on the hog.
I think, really, Sophie, what would really serve you well is to meet with a good qualified certified financial planner. And you need to do some what if scenarios and run the numbers. Here's where things are going, and they'll sit and run through the numbers. Here's where you're at today. Here's what you're going to be like at 55, and here's some of the trade offs you can be considering. And it might
I tried to find a financial consultant. They're like $3,000 to $5,000 a year.
So that's... some will do what called is episodic, which means you pay them for
one time plan,
and that's probably all you need.
And what would you expect something like that to cost?
Anywhere between $1,500 and $2,500.
Okay.
For a good one. You get someone that's going to do it, and then they want you to buy an annuity or something, you're not interested in that. What's dangerous about us giving this recommendation is that you're going to go to someone and they're going to try to sell you a universal life or a whole life or a big fat annuity or things that aren't good for you. You want to pay for episodic advice, which is, hey, am I on the right track? And I can tell you from what information you have given us so far that the answer is you should probably be funding your 401k and not worry about the 529s or paying down the mortgage.
Yeah, the thing is that you just need to go through the numbers and then see what are the trade-offs here.
Yeah.
What are the levers I've got to pull? What sacrifices do I want to make between now and age 55, if any? And then at age 55... if I quit working and decide to be a gardener or something that doesn't really make any money, what's that look like? Or do I need to focus on something that is going to generate some income? And that's what that planning process will let you go through. So I appreciate the time. Okay. So we got to run here, but I appreciate the call and wish you well. And I know there's some great advisors out there. We've got some great certified financial planners in the Denver area as well. So I don't want to make a pitch for our firm, but I know there's some great advisors out there. So we wish you well, and I think it's a great, and there's nothing wrong at all by saying I'd like to at 55 quit doing what I'm currently doing and think about doing something else. I think that's a great thing to be thinking of, and clearly I've seen over my career many people transition to retirement where it's not necessarily full real retirement, but it's more of a transition into a new type of career. So good luck to you, Sophie.
All right, 1-888-2-Hanson to be part of Hanson McLean if you'd like to join us. Anything on your financial mind? Love to take your question. 1-888-2-Hanson. That's 1-888-2-HANSON. 888-242-6766. Numerically, we're in Walnut Creek, California with David. David, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Thank you, David. Thank you.
So I'm 60 years old and looking at retiring here in a little less than a couple of years at 62, and I have a wife who is 57 years old, and we have a principal residence here in the Bay Area, and a couple of years ago bought a home for retirement in the foothills, and what we would like to know is we know you put an emphasis on going into retirement debt-free, and the mortgages are all we carry, and looking to see if it makes sense for us to pay down or pay off either of these mortgages.
Today or at 62?
Today or between now and then.
What's the value of the home in the Bay Area?
About $550,000.
And what do you owe on it?
$365,000.
And what's the value of the home in the foothills?
Right around $600 to $650, and we owe $329 on that one.
And if you were able to pay it off today, do you have the proceeds in money outside of IRAs or 401ks?
Well, outside of IRAs, so our picture is we have about $1.7 million in tax-deferred accounts and about $940 in after-tax accounts, of which $180,000 is in cash.
What do you want to do? Or what do you and your wife think you should do?
Well, you know, we've been talking about how much the stock market has run up. You know, we've done very well, but we're thinking that, you know, with the chances that there may be some correction, it might be nice to take a safe bet on maybe using some money to pay down one of these loans. So we definitely want to go into retirement, hopefully with no debt at all.
And will you, do you plan on selling the home in the Bay Area when you retire?
We haven't decided whether or not we'll sell it or keep it and rent it. It kind of depends on what the income stream looks like at that point in time.
What did you pay
for
the home
here? She paid $550 for the home here.
Okay.
So, what
so it was
gain
really right at the top of the market. Yeah.
So, yeah, so, which is one concern. Is a year, if it's a year and a half from now and the plan is to sell the house in a year and a half from now, who knows what the market's going to be like a year and a half from now.
And you
right,
may...
and we actually may need... We may need to keep this house. If I retire in a year and a half, she's most likely going to keep working for another 2 to 5 years, yep. And it may
Got
need
it.
The house, you know, before she retires.
That'll go over well.
Yeah.
And are these the mortgages both fixed rate, long term mortgages?
Yes, and they're both around 3.5% to 3.75%.
And tell me how the dollars are invested in the after-tax accounts.
Okay, so most of it is in you know, diversified trust account, brokerage account that we have with one of the large institutions, and it's diversified. You know, probably pretty close to 50-50 stocks and
Got
bonds.
It. And do you have any pension income, or is your income going to be coming from your savings?
No, I'm going to have a pretty good pension. I at 62, my pension, if I did a 50% joint survivor, would be about $74,000 a year.
Oh, okay.
Good for you. So, these are great questions.
You can do. I can make an argument why you should pay down the mortgage. I can make an argument why you should never.
I would advocate paying down the mortgage, and I would advocate probably doing a lot of it right now.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with Pat.
And the reason is you've got, I without even looking at that portfolio of $940,000, you have things in there. In addition to that $190,000 that you have in cash is almost a no-brainer. I mean, you
either go invest it and take on risk
or pay down the mortgage, but you're borrowing money at 3.75% and you're lending money at less than 1.
Right.
That's, you know, when you put money in cash, you're lending that money to someone and you're borrowing on those mortgages. So you could do the math right there. The difference between those two is 2.5% a year at the amount that you, even on that $190,000, it's costing you almost $5,000 a year to make that decision. So that's an easy one. So you're going to do that.
Right. Well, some of that's going to be an emergency fund requirement, but nowhere near that amount of money, right?
You don't need to really worry about an emergency fund. Emergency funds are for people that have no money and have...
To have something you can convert to cash because that's not going to fluctuate in value, which your point is, of the 940,000 in investments, if half are not tied to stocks, they're probably in some fixed income funds, some that have little or no gain in them at all.
That's correct.
Right.
That's correct.
Yes.
And because of your age, because of your age 60, all the money in your 401k is liquid.
Correct.
So this idea of
and
emergency...
some of it's not tied to stock. There's going to be some portion that's in somewhat conservative thing that can be turned to cash. Yes.
So the concept of emergency money makes sense for most people, but not you have
key,
plenty of emergency money. So
the key is liquidity. Be able to have some. Be able to convert something to cash. So, in a hurry without worrying about the financial markets.
So if you were in our office, we'd go through this analysis and figure out what real percentage of your portfolio is actually invested at less than what you're paying on the mortgages, and does that make sense? But most certainly, I would take that 190, pay it down, and I'd probably do more than that. I wouldn't have any problem in the world paying down a good portion, if not all, of those mortgages, or pay down enough so that if we made monthly payments, they'd all be paid off by the time your wife retired. So
right.
Maybe
and what about the
400 and then pay down the rest over the next 3 years or 5 years?
And would that include the principal residence here in Walnut Creek, or would you just wait and
You probably won't have that in 10 years, right?
Yes.
Correct.
Yeah, and I wouldn't bother paying it down. And the part of this is a lot of this comes from an emotional standpoint to give people more confidence in retirement, to feel more secure in retirement. What we've found over the years is that for the vast majority of people, they feel more confident and more secure when the home's paid off. That's the bottom line. Whether or not it's going to result in the highest net worth on the day they die, that's another story. But as far as having the most amount of confidence and peace today, it's having the home paid off.
Right. And I love you guys' comment that money not going out is the same as money coming in. So that
well, you'll feel it when the home, when you're retired and, you've got a nice pension coming in, but when you're retired and you realize, you know, David doesn't have any chance to go out there and earn any more money, at least unless he goes back to work. But the fact of not having to make a monthly mortgage payment, it's just freeing.
It's confidence. When you're 75 and you have a, as I hear some advisors advocate, the largest mortgage possible because it is going to make, they say it with such confidence, because it is going to make more money than your, it's going to cost you less than your investments. It's because you say it with confidence doesn't mean it's true. The danger with that is if you're 70 or 75 and you're going through market fluctuations and you've got this mortgage payment, you're emotionally going to react to it. You can't help yourself. Everyone reacts to their portfolios.
You know, absolutely. And that's not where we want to be in life. Yeah. We want to, you know, have a retirement we can count on, know where we are, and not be sitting there eating your liver all the time about what's going on with your money.
So in your situation, I would pay 100% of the Foothill property off based upon...
If you can, without any tax consequences.
Well, yeah, without tax consequences. And if you sit down with a qualified advisor, they're going to show you what part of the portfolio you should be using to do that and how to rebalance the portfolio. And remember, your advisor is conflicted. I'm conflicted as an advisor because I get paid to manage money. And when you're telling someone to take the money that I'm getting paid on or your advisor is getting paid on, and to spend it or to put it elsewhere isn't self-serving. And by our very nature, humans are self-serving. That's how we survive. So your advisor isn't necessarily going to give you advice that is beneficial to you and harmful to them. Although I hope they will. I think many do. But you need to ask the question.
Got it.
All right, David.
All right.
Sound like you're a great
shape. By the way, David, where in the foothills? Do you mind telling us?
Grass Valley.
Oh, beautiful. Beautiful. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
And for those outside of Northern California, Grass Valley is it's an old mining town out in the foothills, beautiful pines. And
yeah,
one of those areas just gets a couple of dustings of snow
it's,
a year.
What they call above the fog and below the snow. But it does get a little snow sometimes.
Yeah. Sometimes when we see portfolios that have run up in value, like today, if you've got both an IRA or let's say it's 401k plans and money outside of 401k plans, if you sell off some of your winners in the money that's outside, you're going to be hit with tax bills, right? Capital gains. You don't trigger any tax consequences when we make changes inside of a retirement plan. So sometimes in times like this, when we've seen the market run up and someone wants to do a rebalance, we might rebalance a little extra in the retirement account and make fewer changes to the money that's not in the retirement account, just from a pure tax standpoint.
We do it all the time with clients at Hanson McLean because it's tax beneficial to the client.
Yeah.
Hey, before we take a quick break here, I want to mention a couple things. One, if you don't listen to our podcast yet, encourage you to subscribe to it. It's a good way to listen to it. But also, our website, if you haven't been on it lately, it's got
we redid it.
To get better.
Well, I shouldn't say we redid it. The people marketing redid it.
You got a note. You got an email saying, here's the redesign.
But I remember we approved it a couple months ago.
But
so I took credit.
Perfect. But there's some great stuff on there. And if you want some answers to some questions with kind of our take on it, our spin, our philosophy behind it, our biases behind it, the way we view the world, it's a great way to get things. Obviously,
it's a big library.
Listening to this program is good, or being a caller, of course, is a good way to do it. But if you just kind of want to peruse some other information, we've got great articles on there. We've got some videos of some certain topics. We have some webinars. We have some guides, It's a lot of information.
Or if you want to ask your questions in person, you can attend one of our 7 personal decision points workshops.
And the workshop, the 7 personal decision point, doesn't really say what it is. It's the main 7 main things you need to consider as you move from working to retirement.
The 7 questions that you have to ask yourself, or we ask you, and then help you get to the answer to make sure that you can retire comfortably.
So if you're retiring next week or next year or in the next couple of years, you're going to want to attend these. We have workshops throughout the Northern California region, both in Sacramento as well as in the Bay Area. In Sacramento, beginning January 23rd through the 27th, we have workshops. And in the Bay Area and in Denver, we have workshops the end of January and the first few days into February. For the complete details and to register, again, our website, HansonMcLean.com. You'll be glad you joined. You really would be. So come join us. We're taking a quick break. Stick around for more of Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Do you have a financial question that needs answering? Call us at 1-888-2-HANSON. That's 1-888-2-HANSON.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Scott Hanson
Pat
here.
Pat McLean.
Our contact number to join us, 1-888-2-HANSON. 1-888-2-HANSON. Numerically, it's 888-242-6766.
And we'll be able to get to your call on the air. So, Scott, I came across this a study by the New York Federal Consumer Credit Panel. Everyone's familiar with the New York Federal Consumer Credit Panel. And
Are those full-time jobs? I mean, you know what I mean? There's so many committees and so many different things.
It's a credit panel. Oh, my gosh.
That's what they do.
So here was what the interesting. So I came across this article where they quoted this number. And it has to do with the rising number of older Americans carrying debt into retirement.
Yeah.
So this is what I found fascinating. Between the year 2003 and the year 2015, debt among borrowers between the ages of 50 and 80 years of age increased by roughly 60%. So this is people that should be on the downside of borrowing. Remember, money not going out is exactly the same as money coming in retirement.
And you say money going out, you're talking about servicing that debt, paying
an existing
the monthly obligations, the bills.
Yes, the bills. And this is debt. This is debt.
Well, debt's a funny thing because debt, you're borrowing money today to fulfill some sort of consumption today that you don't have the money for, with the hope and expectation that you have the money in the future to repay that.
Yes.
Right. And when you're young, let's say you're just getting started in your career.
A house, right?
If you're even a car.
Or a wash machine, or a big screen television, or rims for my car.
But in all fairness, if you were, let's say you're right out of college, just getting launched in a job.
Yes.
You might end up financing a washing machine.
Yes.
Right?
You could buy a used one.
Or you can go to the coin op for a year while you're saving up your money.
All of those are options, which I have done.
Or
all of them.
Wash them at the river.
With the exception of financing a wash machine.
Or washing at the river.
Well, I mean, I did it when I was backpacking, but it wasn't a normal course.
I'm just saying much of the world still washes their clothes.
I'm with
you.
But here's the danger with this. This is why this concerns us is debt in retirement, which is that money to pay the debt, to service that debt, is either going to come from your existing savings or it's going to come from a pension or your Social Security. So the earlier.
Yeah, where's it going to come from?
That's where it comes from. You're done working. In retirement, you're done working. You are now consuming.
And I tell you, we see people that have lived in the same home 30 years
that owe 6-7 times what they paid for the house in debt. The point being here is if you're age 50 or above, you should really have a plan together to try to address retirement debt. And sometimes it's okay. Sometimes you say, I'm never going to get this house paid off, but I can actually service the debt and it won't affect my standard of living. sometimes you say, you know, I'm going to move. I'm getting rid of this larger house, or I'm moving to a lower cost area, which is fine.
Which is part of the plan.
Which is part of the plan. But what you don't want to do is retire and realize, holy smokes, there's no way I can service this debt. And according to the statistics, the number of people between the ages of 50 and 80 have increased their debt by approximately 60%. So,
and I tell you, if you're looking at mortgage interest, there's a couple of things to consider. One, with this new tax law, home equity is no longer deductible.
I just wrote an article about that.
New home equity.
Yeah.
Old loans are fine.
Yeah. But even then, your standard deduction is so high that it might make all the sense in the world just to pay.
So for 90% of Americans are going to be taking the standard deduction going forward. They're not listeners, 9 out of 10 of you.
That interest deduction means almost nothing to you. And even if it does mean something, it might just be marginally above that standard deduction, in which case.
But it's
means
probably not for most people anymore.
That's
because
correct.
You have to have a pretty large mortgage. So if you
would have to have very large mortgage.
The standard deduction is $24,000, right? The new standard deduction for a married couple. A married couple is capped at $10,000 a year for state and local and property taxes on personal residences. So we're talking about really $14,000 that's going to be made up in mainly two categories. One, interest expense on your primary residence or secondary residence, or secondary charitable contributions.
Yes.
That's where that $14,000 has. And with interest rates as low as they are,
you'd have to have a pretty big mortgage.
You'd have to have a pretty big mortgage.
Yeah.
Or make pretty sizable charitable contributions.
Yes.
Or both.
Yes. So it's going to affect, this new tax law is going to affect both charitable contributions and how people treat debt.
And I think this, the elimination of home equity interest deductibility, I think it's a good thing.
Because we've
seen it here over the years. Look, and the banks have a different objective. I remember years ago, a local bank had an ad that talked about using the home equity so you can take the trip you wanted or remodel or spend time for yourself because it's, or make, bank on yourself.
Yeah, don't let the equity.
Your home is your bank. These kind of ads. The mortgage companies cannot be happy with this because you're increasing your indebtedness. You're no longer going to get a tax deduction. So the reason I feel good about it, Pat, I've just seen so many people over the years go into take out debt, and they think they're doing a wise thing with their finances because it's deducted. I'll never forget years ago, a guy, he was retiring within a couple months. And he bought a new Lexus, and he says, yeah, but I said, do you have a loan on your Lexus? Oh, no, I paid cash for that. And then we're going through, and then he had a home equity line
of credit. Which was a loan.
And I said, what's that? He says, oh, I used that to pay for the Lexus. And he said, I know, Scott, I'm smart on this because I know it's deductible if I use my home equity. That's why I use my home equity. And I'm sitting there thinking, you borrowed money to buy your Lexus. Nothing wrong with buying a Lexus.
You just pledged different collateral.
You just pledged different. So I actually think that the elimination of the deductibility of home equity loans is a good thing.
Remember.
That's at least my opinion here at Hanson
McLean. But remember, Scott, home ownership isn't for everyone, nor should it be.
Well, that's the way the millennials are looking at things. That's for sure.
Well, first of all, you lack mobility the moment you actually buy a home.
Completely.
Which means that if there is a better job opportunity that comes up 3-hour drive away, you may forego that better job opportunity, which may have been the best thing that ever happened to you because of the fact you own a home. People stretch oftentimes to buy a home, which they can't afford. So it isn't necessarily this home ownership. It used to be that it brought stability to neighborhoods and created great neighborhoods. But that hasn't been the case in the last 15 years. It has not at all.
Yeah, that's truly changing, home ownership. So. Anyway, we moved from the topic of retirees with baby boomers and people heading to retirement with debt to home ownership. If you've been a listener for this program for a while here at Hanson McLean, you know that we are big proponents of seeing people get to the retirement age with little debt.
Now, I'm going to counter that, which means if you retire unexpectedly and you still have quite a bit of debt, you may want the longest mortgage you can get on your home so that you get the lowest payment so that you can manage
Or even a reverse mortgage at times.
If it makes sense. Dare say you.
It's all about having maximizing your cash flow for retirement.
That's exactly.
A sustainable cash flow during retirement. So let's hit to the phones here. We're in Northern California talking with Rob. Rob, you're with Hanson McLean.
You guys are having way too much fun.
Thank you. Too much
okay,
fun.
So my
we try to have fun in everything in life. Even if I'm not having fun, I try to make the most fun I can out of it.
There you go.
What can we do for you?
When I turn 62, I'm drawing a full pension from CalPERS currently. And when I turn 62, I'm going to draw my Social Security. But at the same time, I was talking to a friend of mine who said that I might have my wife be able to collect half my Social Security when I turn 62 and draw. We were going to hold hers off until she's 66 and a half. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, do a file a restricted claim.
It may make sense.
On yours.
It may make sense.
Okay, repeat that again.
It's a restricted claim.
For when I draw my Social Security?
Yes. Yours won't be much because you have a CalPERS pension, correct? You have an offset?
Right.
So yeah. Yours won't be much. She can get, it's not quite 50% of that because there's a reduction if she takes it early as well. So she can receive some portion of it. And then when she reaches full retirement age, she can receive her benefit.
Okay. This is going to sound really, really ignorant, but I was under the impression I was going to get full Social Security. I guess I can't.
Do you pay into Social Security now or do you not?
Oh, I did when I was working.
Okay.
All right. Then how long did you pay into Social Security?
Oh, like 40 years.
Okay. I mean, all right. Then, all right. Take that back. Some government workers.
In the state of California, some divisions pay into Social Security, others do not.
Correct.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. When I first started working, they had people that had a opportunity not to put into Social Security, but I
got it.
I started in 76, so it worked out good. So I can draw a full.
Here's what I would do, Rob. There are programs that you can analyze without just guessing. You can analyze when's best to take. And really, the thing about Social Security, we get questions like this, but you really want to take it into consideration with everything else that's going on in your life, all your other assets, because you want to make sure you minimize the taxes on it, et cetera. So you really should sit down with an advisor, a good advisor that works with people at retirement transition to help run the numbers. And
okay.
look at what's that mean for you both during your 60s? What's it mean if you're now 70? Now 80, and then you can make the most informed decision at that point.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, Rob.
But it is complicated.
That's what I was afraid of. All right.
Well, you find someone who can walk you through it, and it makes it uncomplicated, so it doesn't have to be that big of a deal.
Right.
Yeah, but the question, things that, you got to look at, your life expectancies,
correct.
Your income taxes.
And then
what other assets? Does it make sense to hold off and use other assets? Does it make sense to start now? And
what's the taxation of Social Security? If you're planning on doing any Roth conversions, how might that impact the taxation on that conversion? Because we've certainly seen that before. So it does get a little more complicated.
So as easy as much as we'd like to just give you a pat answer, we don't know enough about you to answer even close to correctly.
And that was from Pat. Yeah.
Pat answer. Very, that's a pun. Oh, he's a funny guy.
Oh, my.
Funny man.
Appreciate the call, Rob. Funny. He's not like you're ripping on me. Well, now we'll move in our program to the segment where we call Real Advice. And during this portion of our show, we talk to a financial advisor at Hanson McLean and hear a story of someone that they've worked with and presumably helped during that time. Keep in mind that the experience that this particular client had with Hanson McLean may not be indicative of an experience that you would have with Hanson McLean. And this is not intended to be any sort of endorsement whatsoever.
But a darn good story is our hope.
Highly entertaining.
So what's funny? So I was at church last week, and That's not the funny part. That isn't the funny part. But the priest, he's a Jesuit priest, nice guy, funny guy. He's got this Super Bowl football pool thing going on where you buy squares. I don't know what they are, like $100 or $50 each. And he said, a lot of you people aren't really going to play because you think you don't know anything about football. And the priest says, but it doesn't really matter because we're not interested in football. We need your money. This church doesn't operate on thin air. We need money to run it. And that's why we have this football.
And you appreciated his directness.
I thought it was great.
All right. And hopefully Keith will be direct. What does that have to do with our real advice segment here? I just wonder where that came from.
I don't know, actually.
Well, how does your mind work?
I mean, we're about to enter.
I don't
Keith's
know.
On the phone. You were about to talk to him, and you want to tell us a story about a football pool.
Oh, I was telling him how direct. I like people that direct. Are direct.
You do like direct.
I like direct.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Particularly in a financial advisor. You don't want a financial advisor. You come in, you don't have enough money to retire, and they say, sure, you're fine, because they don't want to be that direct with you. You want someone who's brutally honest.
Yeah, and you want clients that are honest.
We're talking with Keith Johnson, and Keith is one of our Denver-based financial advisors, 20 years plus of financial experience, as many of our advisors have, and he's been with Hanson McLean for a couple years now and meets with clients throughout the greater Denver metro area. Keith, thanks for joining us here at Hanson McLean's Money Matters today.
Gentlemen, thank you for having me.
Thank you. So what's tell us about the situation you're working with.
I recently met with someone. They're 68 years old, still working. Absolutely love what they do.
At 68?
Planning on retire at 68, yep. Yes. Loving what they do, self-employed, planning on retiring in a couple years. And basically, they met with us just to get a second opinion on how he was invested. Really good saver, had about $750,000 saved up for retirement. So he brought all his statements in. So we went through everything during our first meeting. Of the $750,000, about $250,000 was invested in a fee-based asset managed account. He was paying more than 2% to have the assets managed. And then another $250,000 was invested in an index annuity. And then the remainder was in about a dozen non-traded real estate investment trusts.
So he had... When you said brought in all statements, he had lots of statements, I presume, because most of those real estate investment trusts came with their own statements, or were they in some sort of account?
That's exactly what happened.
So he had no idea what he had. He had no idea what he had.
How long had he known the person he purchased all this garbage from?
Oh, about 2.5 years.
How did he run into this person that he purchased all this garbage from? You know,
I am not 100% sure how he ran into it. He found us through it, actually, an advertisement in the newspaper. So that could have been it. I have no clue.
Got it. So what did you do then? So for the rest of the listeners, this is what's wrong with this portfolio. One is that the management fees on the are too high. And my guess is if we peeled that back, Keith, were they active or passive investments inside of that?
There were a lot of proprietary funds going on.
Okay. So not only was it expensive, but the stuff inside it was expensive, triply expensive. The index annuities are very, very expensive. They're opaque. They have large... surrender charges on them.
And as a consumer, there's no way to know what's a good one or a bad one.
So we just
because
stay
away, the fees right. aren't disclosed, it's all buried in the product. You have no idea if it's a good product or a bad product someone's pitching to you.
And then the last third of the portfolio was invested into non-traded REITs.
Real estate investment trust.
Which there's nothing wrong with a traded real estate investment trust if it is appropriate for your portfolio. But a non-traded REIT means that there is no secondary market for it. You don't know how much it's worth. You don't know when you could get out of it. You don't know how expensive it is. They are just absolute. There is no other word than to say garbage, 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 garbage.
The returns have been almost half of what publicly traded real estate.
Yeah, why would you buy?
Why would you? You don't. No one buys them. They're sold.
So
it's
That's why we're not fans.
How did you help this this person?
Well, this was, I mean, first of all, I went through and explained how the index annuity worked in the real estate investment trusts, and that there essentially was no market for those real estate investment trusts. And mm-hmm. he was really upset, visibly.
As he should be.
Right. And it was frustrating. I mean, he trusted this advisor with his life savings, and this here's where we are right now. So my first recommendation was do not put another dime into either the index annuity or those real estate investment trusts.
And Keith, at this point in time, did you do a background check on the advisor that sold him this garbage?
I did.
All right.
Yes, I went to Googled broker check and pulled up the FINRA website. Several infractions or disclosures from this specific advisor. In one case, there was a settlement for over $600,000 for selling these real estate investment trusts that were not suitable for this investor, and they won outright.
All right. So the rest of the listeners, it is a start to go to broker check. It is a start. It doesn't show you everything, but it shows you a lot. So if you go to broker check, anytime you hire an advisor, when you hire us, I would like you to go to broker check. Do a background. Mm-hmm. Type in our name and the word complaints. Yeah. Type in.
It'll tell you right there. You just go to if there's any disclosure events. Yeah. They're calling.
Because
bankruptcies. There was a guy who was marketing himself as how smart he was timing the markets, and he had filed personal bankruptcy and owed the IRS $400,000.
So the
any consumer, all you have to do is go spend a few minutes. If you know about this service that's out there,
it's called Broker Check. Okay. So what did you do to extract this gentleman from these products, or could you?
He might have a claim.
Did he file a claim? Did he hire an attorney and file a claim?
He contacted. This is interesting. Actually, he did contact an attorney, the one who settled the previous case against this advisor. And essentially the attorney said because he hadn't lost money yet in those REITs, because they're going 10 years out.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
Yep. 2.5 years.
He'll wait.
So that was interesting. So he did proactively reach out, but nothing yet.
And the reason he can't is because they can't quantify the damage as of yet. I could give them a pretty good idea what it's going to look like, but they can't 100% quantify it. So what did you do for the client?
So for the managed money, where he was paying, 2%+, he was so livid at this point that he said, "I want everything out of there." I said, "Okay, well, let's slow down and see what we can do." Had him contact the advisor in regards to the real estate investment trust, and the advisor said, "You're going to take a hit."
What kind of hit?
If you try to sell them.
Oh, on the REITs. Not on the managed accounts, but on the REITs, he was stuck. Right. He was stuck until these things roll up. There's nothing he could do.
So those are sitting. Correct. So those are there, and the index annuity is still another 3 years before he can access those funds without penalty.
Yep.
So it's still in surrender, so we couldn't do anything with that.
Yep.
But the money he was having actively managed, we went ahead and rolled over, and now it's just, what can we do going forward as far as guidance?
So the problem with this, and thank you for this story, Keith, as bad as it was. The problem with this situation.
This guy was sold all this stuff in the last few years, right?
He's 68 years of age.
Yeah.
He might have been able to retire with that sort of money with a 4 or 5% distribution, and depending upon what his other financial situation looked like. But because of the way he invested it with these non-traded
probably some of these REITs, the monthly income you get is part of your principal.
That's how they work.
So you put in $50,000 and 10 years down the road, it's worth $10,000 or $20,000. That's very common.
So, well, appreciate that.
Yeah, Keith, thanks for sharing this. And it's,
appreciate that.
Thanks, Keith, for being part of Hanson McLean and for sharing the story. So here's a takeaway, and I'm glad Keith shared the story. Before you do business with any advisor, do a little background check. Just simply Google broker check, and it'll bring you right to the site. You enter the person's name. It'll be on there. It'll also, if it's an investment advisory firm, it'll give you some links right there how you can check out the investment advisory firm to make sure that they're bona fide. Secondly, don't buy any products you can't liquidate tomorrow.
That's right. If you can't turn it into cash, you're not interested.
Seriously.
You are not interested. If it doesn't price on a daily basis,
you should be able to buy. You should have a well diversified portfolio, quality portfolio held with an independent custodian, Charles Schwab, TD Ameritrade, Fidelity, something like that, that can hold everything where everything's valued, and you could price and fire your advisor on a moment.
Yes.
Yeah, our clients can fire us today, tomorrow, yes. Right? And we tell them that. Look, we have to continue to earn your business every day as fiduciaries, as advisors. This, when you end up getting sold a bunch of products, you can't, not only can't you get out of your product, you can't even fire your advisor.
Well, you can fire your advisor. They're not.
You just can't get your money back.
The best thing for you is to never talk to that person again.
You can't get your money back.
But you can't get your money back. For how long? Who knows on a non-traded real estate investment trust?
I mean, you really need to be careful with these things. So it's kind of depressing. It's kind of depressing because I recently had a conversation with the chief legal counsel of the Board of Certified Financial Planners. And the thing I said is because they're making it more stringent on being true fiduciaries. And I said to them, you know what irks me is when there are advisors out there that state they're fiduciaries, the client comes in, then they end up selling them a bunch of equity index annuities.
Garbage. We see it all the time.
And so, unfortunately, as a consumer, you still need to do your own homework before you hire somebody. So we are almost out of time. I want to remind you all that we've got some great retirement workshops. If you are contemplating retirement, either in the next few days, few months, few years, you'll want to come to one of these events. They're called our 7 Personal Decision Points for Retirement Transition, and it deals with the 7 things that you need to consider and pay attention to as you move from working to retirement. Last year, we had over 4,000 people register for our live events, and we're going to be in the Sacramento Capital Region Tuesday the 23rd in Auburn, Wednesday the 24th in Sacramento, Thursday the 25th in Roseville, Saturday the 27th in Rancho Cordova, midday on that Saturday.
We're also in Denver and the Bay Area the week of January 31st in both Cherry Creek, Broomfield, and Highlands Ranch, and in the San Francisco Bay Area on January 30th in San Jose, 31st in Pleasanton, and in Danville on February
3rd. That's right. We're out of time. Go to HanselMcLane.com and register or get more information. Looking forward to seeing you there. Have a great rest of the week. We'll see you next week. This has been Hansel McLane's Money Matters.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLane Advisors, a registered investment advisory firm. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor, tax consultant, or estate planning attorney to conduct your own due diligence.